You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello everybody, my name is Daryl and welcome back to another high entertainment episode of the Breadline Show, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 AM on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au in full chrome-plated, highly polished sound. And if you have problems with Centrelink or your job provider, send us an email with your problem to advocacy@auwu.org.au, where we have people standing by and eager to help you. Tonight, we'll be talking about the systemic issues, 5 suspensions per minute, carrying on our robo-debt review, and the advocacy line opening up again, that Jessica will tell you all about it. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how's it going?
Yes, good, thanks. So, you have some good news for us?
Yeah, that's right. From the time earlier in the year, which we sadly had to announce that the union's advocacy phone line had to shut because of lack of numbers.
Yeah, big disappointment.
Yeah, we've now got a full team and we officially opened up the phone line today.
Oh, wow.
You can put your applause on if you like. No, not really.
Well, how about this?
Oh, that's very good, yes. So we're sending out emails all over the place in the next couple of days, but right. We're wanting to remind people that the union's advocacy line means that a real person will be ready to answer your calls from 10 till 2 every weekday.
Every weekday.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. And if you do happen to call outside those hours, you just leave a message and we can get back to you. So, over the year we have had plenty of emails to the advocacy email address, but it's certainly a lot better to have people ready to talk to people. And we can give you the number now, but maybe we can try and put that in right at the end. But all you have to do, really, if you don't get the number written down, if you happen to not have a pen handy or whatever, is to just Google AUWU advocacy line and you'll find the number.
But yeah, I was just going to suggest it'd be on the website anyway, wouldn't it?
That's so, right. So the number is 1-800-289-848.
Okay.
So definitely we hope to start hearing from people. Of course, it's a pity that we have to do this because it's all to do with how bad the system is.
It has always
been, but is particularly bad right now, I think you could say. And that sort of leads us into our next news item.
It's a pity if the government behaved themselves and were fair, they would be able to put us out of a job, wouldn't they? But unfortunately, that's not happening.
It's getting worse, it really is. And, of course, part of that is the way the world's changing with a whole lot of automated systems.
Yeah.
But also the thing that hasn't changed is really the inhumanity of these bureaucracies that are just treating people horrifically. So it's now the stats have come out thanks to the Anti-Poverty Centre, and we've had Jay from the Anti-Poverty Centre before on the show.
Yeah.
But Centrelink is suspending payments at a rate of 5 per minute.
That's incredible.
So I don't know how long we've been talking just now, but, 10, 15 people have now been cut off since we've been talking.
As if people aren't worried enough now trying to find a job.
Yeah.
And,
again, I'm using that term cut off, but it's really suspended.
Yeah.
So their excuse is that, it's only a phone call to get you back on again if your payments have been suspended. But the thing is, you may be in hospital. You may be not. You may be unwell, or you could be undergoing chemotherapy, for example. And those are some of the real cases of people whose payments have been suspended. There was a man recovering from brain surgery whose payments were cut mid-stay, a cancer patient who was told to look at it into a personal loan after being denied DSP, an 80-year-old person with dementia who lost his pension due to a missed update by his guardian.
It just goes on.
I mean, as we know, it's the system itself, as we know from Robodebt, that has major flaws. So,
And if you try to ring on someone's behalf, they'll say, we want to speak to them directly, but they could be in a coma for all we know, laying in a hospital bed.
That's right.
Yeah,
so this nice post, which was on Facebook, actually, from one of the anti-poverty groups, said systemic flaws are automation over compassion. So suspensions have been triggered by missed reporting, even when the recipients are medically incapacitated.
Yep.
No safeguard for crisis. Mm. Centrelink can access financial data, but often they force manual reporting.
Yeah.
Back pay often denied, even when suspensions are overturned. Now, that's a big one. So if you call them and say, hey, wait a minute, where's my... what's this suspension? You can't necessarily get back what you've lost. And this other post says why it matters. This isn't just bureaucracy. It's punitive automation that echoes Robodebt. Vulnerable Australians are being punished for being sick, injured or elderly.
Incredible.
Through no fault of our own, And then...
And like their rent and all their bills aren't suspended, are they?
No, that's right. And, you know, you can imagine a landlord say, oh, sorry, my payments have been suspended. Oh, yeah, sorry, that's not good enough. The rent's due. So there's some stats here. I won't go on too much about stats, one, because I don't want to take up too much time, but stats are hard to take in on the radio. But I think this is important. So 33%, in other words, a third, of the people whose payments were suspended were people with a disability, and at least 26% were First Nations people, according to government data collated by the Anti-Poverty Centre.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about this before, how the sort of the job centres in remote areas are always suspending people. So,
And they have to do more hours for work for the dole, apparently, too. For what reason, I don't know. I would have thought out in remote areas... there'd be less opportunities, so you would think be less reporting out there. Apparently it's the opposite for some reason.
Yeah, well, again, total punitive.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Colonialist thinking, According to the Anti-Poverty Centre, the data shows this is the suspensions are occurring all the time, despite new rules which offer a five-day period for people to contact the job provider before their payments are blocked.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
In the past, as we've reported before on the show, suspensions could lead to a complete cancellation of your payment, but that's not allowed right now. So any payment, you can't have it completely cancelled.
Yeah. So, but even finding out that your payments have been suspended, that puts a lot of stress on you as well.
Oh, yeah.
But what a way to live. They're getting so bad at this. You're busy trying to get a job because who wants to live life on the dole? But you also got to be concerned about... gee, am I going to get my next payment or not?
That's right, yeah.
It
says also in this article that some people have multiple payment suspensions. About 30% of the 37,000 people in the CDP have received more than five payment suspensions. And, you know, CDP is...
Community Development Program, which
operation in remote areas. So Kristen O'Connell, who's an amazing activist, she says, it gives you a sense there are some people for whom the whip is being used so relentlessly they can't escape it.
Mm.
Now, the Secretary of the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations Secretary said the system was not always operating as intended last month. She said that last month. She said they were looking into whether providers are making illegal decisions. Well, we know that. Humans are not perfect, and obviously, as we found out, nor are our system. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've known that for years now, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, the Economic Justice Australia's chief executive called for the suspension regime to be stopped until it's proven it's being done lawfully.
Yeah.
People are frequently telling us they didn't receive a phone call, they haven't been able to get through, and there was no record of contact before they were notified of a suspension. Because in the digital world, you could be suspended in the middle of the night, for example.
Yeah, without any notice whatsoever, and you wouldn't know that till you go to your bank, pay a bill, or draw money out to buy food or something.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
So that's probably the. I mean, there've been some other sort of shocking bits of news coming in, but I'm not sure that we're going to have time for it on tonight's show. However, got later on after the station ID, we've got the second part of the review that. You wrote, actually, Daryl, about the people versus robo-debt
SBS. Yeah, yeah. So, I kind of went through all the three episodes. A lot of work into that, too, I can tell you. But I found these figures I was looking for in total. Government data collated by the Anti-Poverty Centre shows there were 2,683,605 suspension actions between June 2024 and July 2025. That's a hell of a lot. You can't tell me that many people are doing the wrong thing, you know.
It seems like it's just they like reach for the computer and suspend. And you really wonder, as we've pointed out many times on the show, how much are the job centres that are doing a lot of this suspension, how much do they get paid for interacting in that way?
Yeah, exactly.
So, as we said before, that station ID, so we're going to go through this episode 2 of The People versus Robo-Debt, which, as I'm sure listeners know, is watchable anytime on SBS On Demand. And, pretty impressive show. And just to see the sort of real people there who, again, I was impressed by the people who were the sort of whistleblowers, really.
Good on them. They were the public servants that were actually
smack bang
in the middle of it.
So we're going right back to 2017. The 7th of January 2017, 200,000 debt notices were sent out. Then 5 days later, 230,000 debt notices were sent. So about mid-November the year before, according to Reese Corzo's mother, Jenny Miller, her son's debt was put in the hands of a debt collector. They hounded him daily via emails and texts. They threatened to garnish his wages, take his tax return, take his car and personal belongings, and that he would be left with nothing. So Jenny said that this pushed Reese over the edge. And, of course, we should remind that, this is quite upsetting content in the robo-debt show, but also we're mentioning on this show just to remind people that they can ring Lifeline if this raises any issues for you. We'll read out the number at the end of this. Jenny was going through her son's personal effects, trying to find out clues as to why he suicided. She found a picture her son drew. It was a picture of him with a gun in his mouth and dollar signs flying out of the top of his head. To Reese's mother, that was enough proof.
Yeah, that'd be enough proof for anyone, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So the 18th of Feb, the Saturday paper put Reese Corzo's suicide on the front page, cause of death, Centrelink. And the government's been then spun into damage control against the story. Centrelink released personal information about Reese. In other words, an attempt to try and just, question his...
Discredit him.
Really.
Yeah.
And so Jenny got a letter from Alan Tudge, that's Jenny, Reese's mum. Thank you for your correspondence about the death of your son, Reese. Both my department and I sympathise with your family and loved ones in relation to your tragic loss. Please accept our sincere condolences during this difficult time. I'm very concerned that you feel the department's interactions with your son caused him distress. I'm also concerned that you feel your interaction with the department was not well handled. I would like to reassure you that the department endeavours to contact people who have a debt in order to provide advice and support to address their individual circumstances. Following receipt of your letter, asked my department to undertake a thorough review of its interactions. While the review identified minor errors, it concluded that both the department's and the agent's interactions with your son were well handled, professionally and sensitively. Yours sincerely, Alan Tudge.
Yeah, okay. She also said it makes her sick every time she reads that letter as well.
Yeah.
Well,
so Catherine Holmes, who was the person leading the inquiry, the Robodebt Royal Commission, said that the MP, Alan Tudge, knew two people had committed suicide and their families had identified Robodebt as a factor in their death. He did not undertake a comprehensive review of the scheme.
Couldn't care less.
No. And he maintains he didn't know the method of calculating debts had changed.
Oh, come on. He was the minister. How could he not know?
That's
incredible.
We found out that there's still a petition going to call for the secret section of the Robodebt inquiry of the Royal Commission, which was a sealed section, which of course named the bureaucrats. We found out that's still live, that petition. I just checked it before I came on air.
Right.
There's 15,536 signatures on it.
Great.
So it means that it's time. Yeah, if you do feel like signing that or sharing it, you can go to our Facebook page, which is called, if you can just search on Facebook for Oz Unemployment, you'll find out our up-to-date page, so you can find the petition there. I just realised, sorry, Daryl, that I read out the whole thing. We just split it up to make other voices.
That's all right. That's okay. I forgive you.
Sorry about that.
No, that's good. That's cool, Jessica. No problem.
And we've got the other things. Next week we're going to be talking about something which was in a very sneaky way tagged onto another bill that was going through Parliament, and it was about the police having the powers to cut people's Centrelink payments if they're on remand for certain charges. And so we'll be talking about that and giving you a few more details on that next week.
Yeah, well, why not? You know, like we are talking about Centrelink here, and when you're talking about Centrelink, you're always guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah.
And even when you are proven innocent, it's not a lot of help.
That's right.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, all right. Well, we've taken up our half hour now there, Jessica. All right. Okay. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to join us again next week, same time. Stay tuned for the Eritrean Voice Show coming right up. My name is Daryl.
And I'm Jessica.
You have been listening to Breadline, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 AM on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.